presented by the American Investment Council.
Hey, good morning, Playbookers. It's Thursday, June 24th. I'm Raghu Manavolan, and this is your Politico Playbook Daily Briefing. Yesterday, I mentioned it was feeling like Groundhog Day around these parts, but today, it's probably closer to Moby Dick. President Joe Biden seems to have all but secured that elusive bipartisan infrastructure deal that both parties have been talking about for years. After a meeting with White House officials last night, the group of centrists working on that deal declared that they had a working framework. Today, that group is headed to the White House to meet with the president. Republican Senators Susan Collins and Rob Portman did warn that there are still a few details to iron out, but a well-positioned administration source tells us the deal is basically set. That leaves the question, what's next? We know that at least 11 Senate Republicans have agreed to back the plan. Unfortunately, the same number of Democrats have expressed reservations. That adds up to some tricky math to pull this thing off. Senator Chris Murphy alluded to that predicament to Anderson Cooper on CNN last night.
Well, my sense is that that deal right now has 20 votes, not 60 votes. We're going to have to take a deep dive into the agreement that they've reached and, you know, square it with the needs of our voters.
Here's what's on the checklist for the 21 senators who were part of this plan. Sell it to their own colleagues. Now, aside from President Biden, Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema come out of this deal as winners. The Dem duo not only got their bipartisan deal, but they also have effective veto power over the massive reconciliation bill that Sanders and the rest of the left are still drafting. It's worth noting, neither senator has offered any sort of assurance that they'll back a reconciliation plan. Indeed, the big remaining question about the almost done deal, which we're told includes some $559 billion in new spending, is whether progressives will go along, but they're also taking a risk if they just fall in line. The list of priorities they'd like to pack into the reconciliation bill runs off the page: paid family leave, climate investments, free community college and expansion of Medicare, corporate tax hikes, and who knows what Manchin and Sinema will insist on axing after the thing that they wanted most, infrastructure, will already be signed into law. The optimistic view of the situation comes from the White House perspective, and it goes something like this. Manchin and Sinema will be under enormous pressure to support a reconciliation bill after Biden buckled his left flank to make a bipartisan deal happen. They'll also point out that by first moving $1 trillion of infrastructure spending through this bipartisan deal, it'll reduce the price tag of the reconciliation bill by that amount as well. That'll make it easier for moderates to support it. There's also an argument that with some $1 trillion of infrastructure removed from the bigger bill, progressives will have some more room for other priorities. One last thing, it looks like the Biden-Schumer-Pelosi plan is to move these two bills simultaneously, with each bill needing the other to pass. Schumer said Wednesday night, "We can't get the bipartisan bill done unless we're sure we're getting the budget reconciliation bill done. We can't get the budget reconciliation bill done unless we're sure of the bipartisan bill." The takeaway seems to be, if one of these bills goes down, the other one is going to go down with it. Here's something to put on your calendars. In a matter of a few weeks, Congress is going to have to raise the $28 trillion debt ceiling around the same time that Democrats will be trying to pass Biden's $6 trillion infrastructure/climate/family deal. This could prove to be a major headache for members like Senator Joe Manchin, who are going to see this price tag combined with the ever-ballooning federal debt and flip out. Politico's Caitlin Emma on the Budget Beat lays out the two options being considered by Democratic leaders. They could use the filibuster protections of the budget process to raise the debt ceiling without GOP support, or they could find 10 Senate Republican votes to suspend the debt limit by reaching a bipartisan deal. Neither option is especially easy or palatable. The former path requires support from moderate Democrats who aren't sold on circumventing the normal legislative path and might face political blowback for voting to hike a natural borrowing limit. The later path relies on help from Republicans who are demanding fiscal reform in exchange for their votes, with the stability of the American economy on the line. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen on Wednesday urged Congress to raise or suspend the debt ceiling within the next month, floating the possibility of a crisis-level situation as early as August, when lawmakers are scheduled to be out of town. All right, here's what's up in Washington today, starting with the White House. At 10:15 a.m., the president will receive the president's daily brief. At 2:30, Biden will depart D.C. to head to Raleigh, North Carolina. There, he'll head to a vaccination site and meet with workers. At 6:35, he'll depart Raleigh to head back to the White House. First Lady Jill Biden will travel to Florida to visit vaccination sites. Here's the vice president's Thursday. Harris will meet virtually at 4:15 p.m. with organizations that are helping people get vaccinated. The Senate is in today. The House will meet at 10 a.m. An administration subcommittee will hold a hearing on voting in America at 10 a.m. with former Attorney General Eric Holder among those testifying. All right, before we get out of here, congratulations to Playbook's very own Eugene Daniels, who got engaged yesterday. For more news on what's breaking in D.C. right now, subscribe to the Playbook newsletter at politico.com/playbook. Our music is composed by Breakmaster Cylinder. I'm Rogamona Volin. Have a great Thursday. See you first thing tomorrow morning.
This summer looks a lot better because of private equity's investments over the past year. Millions of Americans were able to get vaccinated. Many of the small businesses we know and love survived the pandemic and are thriving. And the travel industry is rebounding. This year, we're celebrating summer because of private equity's investments in our families and communities. Learn more at investmentcouncil.org/summer.